Are you a real estate investor and you are struggling to get your first deal done because you simply don't have the funding for your deal? Or are you a wholesaler and you've done some deals and you got some assignment fees, but there's some deals that you want to really stay in, but you don't have the money to fund the deals? Or are you a seasoned real estate investor? You've done a ton of deals and you're just sick and tired of high interest rates and borrowing hard money? Well, don't go anywhere. If you answered yes to any of those questions, don't you go anywhere, because I'm getting ready to plug you into the money. Well, welcome to the Private Money Academy podcast. I'm Jay Connor, your host, also known as the Private Money Authority. And just for being here on the show, I've got a free gift for you, my brand new book. I want to send it to you. It's free. It's called Where to Get the Money Now. I told you that if you answered yes to any of those questions, I was going to plug you into the money. Well, here's how. My new book, Where to Get the Money Now, subtitle, How and Where to Get Money for Your Real Estate Deals Without Relying on Traditional or Hard Money Lenders. This book will show you step by step how I was able to get over $2 million in less than 90 days for funding of my deals, and how I now have 46 private lenders with a little over $8 million in private money that we just invest from house to house to house. So I will ship you this book, just cover delivery. You can get it for free at www.jayconnor.com. That's JAYCONNER.com/book. That's jayconnor, JAYCONNER.com/book, BOOK. And we'll rush that right out to you. Well, if you've been tuning into the podcast for any length of time, you know I have amazing guests here on the show, and today is no exception. As a matter of fact, my special guest, after 16 years as a firefighter and a paramedic, my special guest launched his career rapidly, becoming one of the nation's top real estate investors himself. So within his first few years as a real estate investor, he had transacted millions of dollars of real estate and had become one of the nation's leading experts in both residential and commercial transactions. Well, his unabridged passion for business and real estate put him on the radar very, very quickly of the A&E television network, as well as multiple television stations and organizations like CBS and ABC, CNBC, Fox News, and CNN. Well, the New York Times reported that my guest series titled Flipping Boston posted the highest ratings ever for the A&E network at the time of airing. Well, my guest has been sought after as the tell it like it is motivator. Well, folks, my guest and my friend, fellow mastermind member, is Mr. Dave Seymour. So welcome to the Private Money Academy podcast, Dave. How are you doing?
My Lord, I was looking around to find the guy that you were just describing. And then I had one of those moments where I went, oh, it's me. Yeah, I've kicked some butt and taken some names in my career. Jay, God bless you, man. It's a pleasure to be with you, dude. It really is. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm excited to have you on, Dave. I mean, you have got quite the story. I mean, there's not many of us guys and gals out here that have had the trip and the journey that you had. So yes, we want to hear all about flipping Boston and being on the A&E network. But before we get that, you got your seatbelt on? You ready to go?
I'm ready to rock and roll, brother. I'm ready. All right, let's rock, babe, and roll. You got it.
Well, tell us, how did you get started in real estate?
Yeah, great question. It's always a good opener. It's like you said, I was a firefighter and a paramedic for many years. I'm actually an immigrant to the United States of America. Don't tell anybody. It's a secret. I came from London, England back in 1986, became a naturalized citizen, absolutely loved what I was doing. But the challenge was I wasn't very financially literate back then, Jay, and I suffered the consequences of financial illiteracy. And I got hurt pretty bad during the crash of 2008, 2009. I was a firefighter, paramedic. I was working construction. I was working retail security. I was working about 120 hours a week and I couldn't make ends meet. And I very quickly realized that what I was doing wasn't working. I was following the herd, as I call it, you know, 401ks, et cetera, et cetera. Debt was bad, you know, save money. I mean, all of the misnomers that I was given from years of education. But anyway, I found myself in 2008 losing my primary residence, pre-foreclosure scenario. Cost me a marriage, Jay. It was a serious side to all of this stuff, relationship-wise. It wasn't easy to be a father to my son or a husband to my wife when I was working that many hours. I was out of the house. And I was, it's funny, man, I look back at it today and I have a wry smile. At my lowest point, I always kind of look north for some help and guidance, and I'm screaming and shouting at my God. And I'm like, you know, what did I do wrong? I didn't lie, I didn't cheat, didn't steal. I worked hard. I was a man among men, worker among workers, and yet everything had turned to crap. And, you know, I'm shouting at my guy and I'm like, you know, help, help. Those that seek shall find, right? And in that moment of clarity or insanity, depending on how you want to look at it, a commercial came on the radio and it was Teach Me Foreclosure. I was in my pickup truck. Teach Me Foreclosure, free 1.5 hour seminar coming to your neck of the woods. Do you want to be a real estate investor? Do you want to learn how to do transactional deals with no money down, no credit? And I'm like, well, I got no credit. My credit score is like 2. I've got no money. I'm losing my house. But I believed that it worked, Jay. That was what was important. Like, I had faith that real estate was a vehicle to wealth because I'd seen it working on the construction sites. The investors showed up. They didn't have any dirt on their boots. They were driving nicer cars. They had shiny white teeth. They were smiling. I wasn't. So that was how it started, man. I went to a seminar. I'm a product of real estate education and training. And I took to it like a duck to water. I had no way to go but up, really, was the answer to it. And I put one foot in front of the other, went with my now wife, Mary Beth, to the three-day class, invested $27,000 on her credit cards because she was my first private lender. Go figure, right? My wife. It's the truth. I looked at her and I said, what do you think? It was $27,000 for like 5 classes. And I said, what do you think, baby? She goes, I don't know. What do you think? I said, I can't keep doing what I've been doing. You know, the cost just keeps going up, the emotional cost, the physical cost. She said, go get them, killer. She said, I'm proud of you. I love you. I support you in anything you want to do. And I looked at her. I said, I'm so glad you said that. We got to use your credit cards. Mine are maxed out. And, that's the truth, man. That's how it all began. So, yeah, kind of a long story short story long, however you want to put it. But that was it.
Yeah. So what year did you start your education and when did you go full time real estate investing?
Yeah, I started my first classes were late 2007 and 8. Like the foreclosure crisis was just beginning to ramp up. And, you know, I started learning how to do short sales and distressed assets. And 18 months later, I quit the fire department. And I say I quit. I didn't really quit. I retired. And the reason I retired was it got to a point where it cost me way too much money to go to work. It was as simple as that. I had made enough noise and grabbed enough attention in those 18 months that I was in the process of doing the TV show Flipping Boston. I'd surrounded myself with different people. I learned about internet marketers and the different ways of lead generation and attraction and execution and contracts and money. And I was like all in, man. I was like, where has this been my whole life? You know, I'm like, hello, I've arrived. And that was it, man. That was how it started.
You know, I experienced the same exact thing when I got into real estate investing. It was like, my lands, where has this been all my life? And, you know, my very first real estate investing seminar that I went to, I had already been doing this business for 6 years. My lands, don't start out that way. Get your education first. But I was cut off and lost my lines of credit in January 2009. And that's what triggered me to go to my first educational seminar, was to learn about private money And that's what got me going, this world of private money. So you got in there 18 months after getting your education. You retired from the firefighting and paramedic world. What were some of your early struggles when you started out, and what's the lessons learned from it?
Yeah, that's a great question. The biggest struggle I ever had was with my own head. You know, growing up a blue collar guy, now moving into a white collar world, it was very hard for me to believe early in my career that people would sell assets to me for a discount. It was it was self-worth. Like, I did a ton of personal development as part of my business development, believing that I was worthy, believing that I had something of value, which was my education, which was the way that I looked at a real estate transaction. And as you do, here's the key, I think, Jay, and I don't know if you agree with this. I anticipate that you do. As long as I was always in motion, in forward motion, as long as I was putting, honestly, my very best effort, one foot in front of the other, if I was removing the negativity around me, the people who said you can't, I loved it when somebody said I can't, because I'd immediately turn it to I can, and I'd just execute, you know, and on the way by as I succeeded, you know. So it was working on my mind first. Guy said to me, Dave, he said, there's 6 inches of detrimental thinking that lives between your ears. He said, and only you can control that. Only you can. Are you wealth? Are you confidence? Are you joy? Are you value? He said, because if you believe you are, then that will resonate to the people around you. And I started looking at opportunities where I could bring massive value. And it wasn't money driven, Jay. It wasn't money. Money was the byproduct of service first, helping a distressed homeowner, looking after your contractors and treating them like equals, not like, you know, like they were a lesser citizen or whatever. Leaving my pride and my ego and parking it to one side, stepping into every relationship with everybody being at 100 and losing points rather than being at zero and always having to gain points. You know what I mean? I bought an attitude of gratitude to everything that I did. And, you know, I just kept going, man. There's a book out there. It says, I think it's 6 inches short of gold or 6 feet short of gold. And the idea is, you know, is it just that one more phone call? Is it just that one more offer? Is it just that one more relationship? Are you going to quit before it's time to succeed? And what happens is 90% of our competition, if not higher, quits. And that's why guys like us succeed, because we stay the course. We have the tenacity. We have the drive. We have the faith, the belief. And again, surrounding myself with like-minded people who wanted to do what I was doing. And that overcame any hurdle. There aren't hurdles. They're just little blips along the radar. It's as simple as that.
Well, what you just said, Dave, is one of the reasons that you and I resonate so well with each other. And that is, it's never about the money for the long term. You know, making a lot of money can be a motivation for somebody in the short term. But, you know, it's been my experience over all the years of being in business. Whenever I got involved in an activity or an opportunity, and the only interest that I had in that opportunity was to make money, I never succeeded. I never succeeded. And it all comes down to what you just said, having a servant's heart. I mean, you know, I know you got to love Zig Ziglar like I love Zig Ziglar, right? And, you know, like
right on my wall, right on my wall right there. You can have everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what they want. Zig Ziglar. It's right there on my wall, brother.
That's it. That's it.
So look at the hairs on the arms.
Look, I know. Hey, look, my
blood bumps.
mine are standing up on my neck. So as far as your real estate investing journey, what have you focused on? Fix and flips, wholesaling. What niches of real estate have you like really been involved in and like just knocked it out of the park?
Yes is the answer to all of them. Yeah. Look, here's the thing. As you become more intelligent in your industry, you see more opportunities. So, you know, the TV show Flipping Boston pigeonholed me as the, you know, the grumpy construction guy who just got it done. which is all BS. It's reality TV. It's Mickey Mouse, right? But the reality of it was, is I really did buy houses with my partner. We really did renovate them, you know, fix them, sell them, and make a profit. You know, wholesaling is easier money. It's just great negotiation skills, understanding the mechanics. I think the biggest disservice in the education space is that people say, you know, if you know how to just learn how to be a wholesaler and make quick money. Well, that's garbage. You got to know how to be a rehabber so that you can be a great wholesaler, right? If you don't understand the mechanics, the numbers, the time, the ARVs, et cetera, et cetera. So I've always been in that field, always will be in that field, although it's not my focus so much today. Along the way, buy and hold, get some cash flow coming in, get some appreciation, let the tenant go to work and pay down your debt service for you. Thank you very much. Treat them like the gold that they are. Don't be a slum landlord. Give them clean, decent, affordable housing. Give them a response immediately when they need you, if you can, to make sure that you build that relationship with them. They're the most valuable asset that you have as a real estate investor is your tenant base. And then today, you know, we level up. It's always a case of leveling up. I can't sit still. It's my ADD DNA. And today we're in the commercial real estate space. I run a $100 million private equity fund that invests in multifamily assets in the Sun Belt. And we just started our build for rent strategies, where we've got six acreage plots in Florida, another 8 acreage plots in South Carolina and Atlanta. And now we're going to be building houses for the folks who want to rent and not own. So there's a trajectory, Jay. Which part of that do you want to address first?
Well, yeah, you've done it all, and it's just part of ascending up the ladder. Now, you just mentioned that you've got a pretty large fund for the commercial project. So, like myself, you know a whole lot about growing capital, attracting capital. I mean, both you and I could talk a long time about that. But let's just stop here for a moment. Tell us, from your experience, what's the best way to grow capital?
Oh, that's a great question. So look, there is an absolute learning curve, right? So when I was doing single family buy, fix, and flip, you know, attracting an investor, first of all, who understood the business was critically important. So you could do that through show and tell. This is what we paid for it. This is what we did to it. This is how much we made. And this is what our private lender made on it. Protected, secured, and insured. 8% interest, interest only, blah, blah, blah. You know the pitch, right? And that becomes a word of mouth. So, you know, my portfolio attracted that retail investor. I'm not going to lie, Jay. I'm going to be truly transparent. It can be hard work. It can be heavy lifting sometimes with the retail investor. We use the term of, if it feels like I'm pushing a donkey up a hill, then I got to stop doing it, right? So how do I get attraction? How do I get motion, repetitive actions? It's by being successful. The very first private loan I took was $35,000 from a lieutenant at the fire department. And I said to him, Mikey, give me 35 grand. I'm going to put you in a third lien position on this property. I said, but I'm going to give you your 35 grand back in 3 weeks, plus an additional 5,000. I knew I could do it because the property was under contract. We just needed this money to squeeze through to the finish line. So I give him his money back in 2 weeks, and he's ecstatic. And he said to me that day, he said, dude, that was a great deal. I said, thanks, LT. I appreciate it. He said, if you ever, magic words, if you ever need money again, you come to me first. And if I don't have it, I know somebody who does. And what he was referring to was his father, because his father was a retired chief. So, you know, the first one is always the toughest one. But once you've got traction underneath that, it becomes a system. It becomes repetitive, and it creates its own motion. Today, I mean, I'm in a different sandbox altogether. Today, I attract capital through the portfolio. I attract capital through family offices, institutional capital. How'd you like this for a problem, Jay? You ready? I have 18 months to put together a $500 million portfolio because I've got an arbitrage trust company that's ready to take it out at a 4 cap on the buy side and an 8.5%, 9% cash on cash return. So there's a guy waving a $500 million check in my face. And he's like, go find me the real estate. Let's go. Right. So, you know, it's interesting because the first guy that I learned commercial from was a very, very cool gentleman. His name's Dave Lindahl. He's in Massachusetts.
Yeah, Dave's a good friend of mine.
Okay. So DL said to me, he said, Dave, he said, it's just zeros. More zeros on the way in, more zeros on the way out. Just run the deal the same way. And I never forgot that. So yeah, that's how we raise money today, man.
That's awesome.
Attraction.
I'm a big believer. Before I get to my next question, let me ask you this first question. So everybody's dying to hear the short story summary of your television stardom, the A&E show, Flipping Boston. So take a moment and tell us about, well, before you tell us about reality TV, I tell people, they'll say, Jay, tell me about this, you know, all these flipping shows. I said, the only thing real about reality TV is none of it's real except Dave Seymour's Flipping Boston, because he actually did houses. But anyway, take a moment and tell me and the audience about reality TV.
Look, it's a blessing and a curse, depending on how you want to look at it. The blessing was the national exposure. I don't know about anybody else. I didn't get rich off of a TV show. I think it was 15,000 an episode was at the end of our career there. Here's the benefits are the exposure. It put me on the Today Show multiple times. It put me on the Rachel Ray Show multiple times. It allowed me to be recognized as a national expert and a pundit on CNBC and CBS and other networks. So that was the caveat to it. You know, the nitty gritty of a real estate transaction being filmed for a TV show. You know, if it's a half an hour TV show like these flippy, flappity, floppity shows on HGTV, you know what I mean, right? If it's a half hour show, look, man, paint and carpet's paint and carpet. You're not making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 on paint and carpet. Okay, so stop it. Be serious. You know, they're creating a TV show. You know, with us up here in New England, my inventory is some old ladies, man. I mean, 1890, you know, 1880. The oldest lady I ever loved was 1892, I think she was born. And she was an old school in Newburyport that we turned into a couple of high-end condominiums. But, you know, we really did rip the houses apart and put them back together again. And the thing that was, I'll always give kudos to my ex-partner Pete on this, was he ran the numbers as if there was nothing special about the exposure or anything else. Like the numbers were real. The real numbers in, the real numbers out, the profit, whether it was a skinny margin or a better margin, he stayed true to the numbers. Look, can you flip a house in, you know, 3 weeks and make 40, 50 grand? Maybe. You can flip a contract and make 40 grand, and you can do that in 24 hours if you know what I know, right? So, you know, reality TV had to create a story, had to create a show. You know, it allowed a goofball like me to have some fun. You know, I'd break the fourth wall all the time. The fourth wall is the camera. Like, I break it all the time and just start talking to the camera. You know what I mean? And they're like, you can't do that. I said, keep it in there. It's good. So, yeah. You know, if you're watching those shows, watch them for their show value. Do not watch them for educational value. Because if you're watching for educational value, you're going to get your butt handed to you. If you watch them for show value, you know, enjoy the pretty ladies, enjoy the drama. Oh, my God, the pipes burst. Let's go to commercial. Right? You can play all of those silly games if you want. You know? It's a show. For
I practice. Love it.
Come on now.
Thanks for telling it like it is, Dave. After all, you are known as the tell it like it is guy. So both you and I, Dave, are big believers in the law of reciprocity. So. Oh, yeah. Two questions. Tell everybody what's the definition. What's your definition of the law of reciprocity and how does it apply to real estate investing?
Yeah, that's such a good question. Look, man, reciprocity, they actually did, you know, like the intelligent psychoanalyst kind of guys and girls looked at reciprocity and it's part of our DNA. And our DNA says as Homo sapiens that if I do something for you that is perceived to be valuable, you in return will do something back for me. But don't bring value to someone with an expectation of value. just give because giving is good, right? Start there, right? Our rewards are coming from high up above. They're not always coming in the paycheck. You know what I mean? So reciprocity is just going out and being of service, I believe. I know a guy. This is my ultimate in reciprocity. I know a guy who's financially stable. This guy has a couple of boys. They're now 11 and 9 years old. And what this man does is he takes his children to Walmart the last 2 weeks before Christmas every year. And he will put down $5,000 at the layaway counter and tell the lady behind the counter, pay down $5,000 worth of layaways, whatever comes up on your screen, until those layaways are all paid off. And he just shows his sons that. That's reciprocity. This man, and I've had many, many, many conversations with him. And he says, you know, reciprocity has put me in a position to be financially free. And the law of reciprocity says, if I want to keep something, I have to give it away. Say that again. If you have something of value, if you're going to keep it, then you have to give it away. Pass it on is what we use for a terminology. So that's my definition of reciprocity. And here's the other thing, man. When it comes to charity and giving and philanthropic, don't do it to get recognized. Do something good for somebody else and then keep your mouth shut. Because that, I believe, is the definition of humility, which works side by side with reciprocity. So that's just my own philosophies on it. And it served me pretty well.
It reminds me what Jesus told the Pharisees when they're out there praying in the public square with their arms lifted up. And Jesus said, go pray in your closet and shut the door, right? I love it. How does the law of reciprocity apply in real estate investing?
Look, through coaching, through passing it on, through being humble, okay? There's a lot of ego in our industry, Jay. Let's just be honest about it, right? Look at me, I'm the best. I've got a private jet. I've got a big house, you know, all of that stuff. I don't believe that encompasses reciprocity. What reciprocity is an opportunity to give somebody a hand up, not give somebody a hand out, right? When you're in a position to share knowledge, knowledge is only powerful if implemented, right? So that's what I like about real estate reciprocity. And then we get to pass that along to our clients, to a homeowner in distress, to whatever that situation is. And the reciprocity in there works along the way of, you know what? That person knows somebody else. And my reputation will always walk before me. Unfortunately, bad news travels faster than good news. We all know that. But if you make loud good news with clients and let them speak your words afterwards, then reciprocity and momentum follows afterwards. So that's how I look at it, brother. Right or wrong, it served me well.
I love it. Dave, what book have you gifted to other people more than any other book?
The Secret by Rhonda Byrne.
Oh.
The Law of Attraction. And then my good friend, Jack Canfield, Secrets of Success.
Oh, yes. I went to my wife, Carol Joy, and I'm looking at the certificate up here. We went to Jack Canfield's first event of his that I went to was Breakthrough to Success. And I got so excited. I went back and paid the big bucks and got certified to teach Jack Canfield stuff because I just love it.
Yep.
I love it. Dave, I tell you, I have just loved having you here on the podcast. As we wind down, what are any parting comments or final advice that you would like to share with the audience? And then be sure and tell folks how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's always interesting how you wrap up, you know, a conversation. For me, I think about the people who listen to us, Jay. You know, what do they want? What are their needs? How can we serve them best? And I, you know, it sounds kind of kitschy, but I always say, to thine own self be true. Is what you've been doing working? Be honest with yourself. And if it hasn't, it's okay to do something different. You don't have to know everything before you do anything. Take the first step. Educate, don't speculate. and find the people that are doing what you want to do at the highest level possible. Do your due diligence and then step into action. It's a lot of fantastic people sitting on couches, wishing and wanting and dreaming. But then there's a smaller population, guys like us, who are out there actually doing it, right? Not just teaching it, but we're actually out there doing it as well. So step into your own greatness. And if you want to connect with us, if you want to learn anything about what we do at Freedom Venture Investments, I know Jay's got a website that he can send you to there. I'm old school, brother. You can pick up the phone and call us at 781-922-4418. One of my team members will pick up the phone, connect to me if that's possible. I try and be as available as I can. So I just want to keep it moving forward, brother. I'm not up for sitting still. So
that's awesome. So folks, my friend Dave's website is www.freedomventure.com. And Dave, one more time, that phone number, please.
781-922-4418.
That's awesome. Dave, thank you so much for joining me.
Best half hour of the day, brother. Thank you, man.
You got it. Look forward to seeing you at the upcoming mastermind meeting as well. Well, there you have it, folks. My special guest, Dave Seymour. What a journey. What a story. Fantastic having Dave on. And look, folks, don't miss out on any of these podcasts. Be sure to, if you're on iTunes or Google Play, be sure to rate, subscribe, and review. And don't miss out. Like and share and subscribe. Don't miss out on any of these shows. Well, I'm Jay Connor, the Private Money Authority, wishing you all the best. Here's to taking your real estate investing business to the next level. And we'll see you right here on the next Private Money Podcast. We'll see you then.